the body of Christ. And so we're seeing a lot of uncertainty. We're seeing things happen even in our own families, financial issues, illnesses. But you know what? If you allow your mind to go there to meditate on these things, they're going to begin to take hold of your mind, my friends, and take hold of your thought life, and begin things are going to begin to flow out of our mouths. And you can easily talk yourself into depression, if not oppression. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? So what should the response be of a Christ follower? What should the response be of a believer in Jesus when it seems that all hell is coming against us? I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today. Paul says this in verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God, let God's Word transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, wants to change the way that we think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect in His sight. You see, only the power of the Holy Spirit, coupled with the Word of God, meditating on God's Word, can transform our minds from stinking thinking to thinking faith thoughts, right? To living a life of faith and not a life of fear. And right now, even our government, I'm going to say it, is using fear as a major weapon to strike into the hearts of men and women, that so much so, even believers, that we're coming to a point in our lives going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Listen, that's the world. That's the way the world operates. It should not surprise us as believers. I was talking to someone before church today, and they said, you know, Pastor Mark, I've been watching this particular show on TV, and it's really been messing with my mind. I think God's telling me not to watch it. You see, you know what's so cool about that? That's the Holy Spirit working in the life of a believer. And my friend, if you're listening online, you can have that too. You can have the Holy Spirit talk to you and say, you know what? What you're saturating your mind with is messing you up. Let me, God's saying, transform your mind. Amen? Bob Sorge, in his book, The Fire of Delayed Answers, he says this, that there are at least three temptations that seek to derail believers in times of stress and uncertainty while waiting on God. I'm going to give you those real quick. Number one, the temptation, here it is, to demand immediate answers. God, we want it now. God, we want a fix to this virus right now. Listen, I'm still learning that it's during these times that I have to remind myself that God is doing a deeper work of character and endurance in my life. How many want to run this race with endurance with Jesus? Amen? The second temptation is to give up. What's the use? All is lost. Well, Paul says in Colossians 1:11, he says that he's praying that we be strengthened with all of His glorious power so that you will have all endurance and patience that you'll ever need. Colossians 1:11. And then number three, finally, the temptation is just to do something, right? We got to do something. Everybody's doing nothing, but we got to do something, right? Well, I want to encourage you today. The words, "fear not," appear in your Bible 365 and 65 times. One for each day of the year. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, fear not. Who says that God is not a God of order? You see, God can bring order into chaos, my friends. And God has you and I on His mind constantly. God, I can guarantee you, Jesus, the Father, Holy Spirit, they're not freaking out about anything. God has this, my friends. In fact, Psalm 8:4 says this, what are people that you should think about them? Mere mortals that you should care for them. In other words, God always has us on His mind and our best interests at heart. Isaiah chapter 41, if you'll turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I'm going to say that again. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Man, when I think about that, let's see, Jill, because you're family, come on up here, honey. Amen. God, this is the way, when I read that, I'm seeing Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, taking hold of me and looking into my eyes and saying, do not be afraid, I am with you. I love you so much. I cherish you. Not listen, that's the kind of God that we serve. Give Miss Jill a big hand. Thank you, honey. Amen. Listen, so he says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged. I am your God. I'm a believer, Christ follower. Why are we walking around looking like this? We're the people that should be looking up. We're the people that should be offering, even with, listen, I've discovered too, even with a mask on, you can tell someone's smiling. You see their ear or their eyes squint up like that, man. And, you know, I just love doing that. When I go through the grocery line at the checkout, man, I've always seen, hey, Susie, how you doing today? Oh, I'm doing okay, you know, how are you? I'm blessed, amen. God is good, and they can tell there's something different about me. Now, it's not me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. You've heard me say this many times. We're not dope dealers. We're hope dealers. We can still offer hope at the checkout line. Amen. We can offer hope to people. And so he says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged. I am your God. And listen to this. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Verse 13, for I hold you up by my right hand. I, the Lord your God, and I will say to you, do not be afraid, for I am here to help you. There are three promises that God makes to those who put their faith and trust in Him. Number one, here they are. He promises, he says, God is with us. God is with us. Say that with me. God is with us. Say it again. God is with us. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews the 13th chapter. It says this. It says, don't love money or the things of this world. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So that we can say with confidence, boldness, and assurance, the Lord is my helper. So I will not have, or I will have no fear. What can mere man do to me? And then in Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to turn there. Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 35. Says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. How many times do we forget when you hear something on the news, all of a sudden, fear tries to grip your heart. How many have been there before? We all have, right? But God says here, Hebrews 10:35, so do not throw away the confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you have need of now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised you. And I wanted to read my notes to you because this is so applicable to our lives today about verse 36. It says this, for the time being, these believers needed patience, that is, to remain steadfast, to hold firm. Because Christ lives in us, we can have that kind of endurance. Jesus predicted that His followers would be severely persecuted by those who hated Him. Are we not seeing that in our world today? It's just heating up, folks. In the midst of terrible persecution, they could have hope, however, knowing that the salvation was there. Times of trial serve to sift. Check this out. Times of trial serve to sift true Christians from false fair weather Christians. See, there's that shaking. There's that sifting that God's doing in our world today. I've said this in talking with a lot of pastors. And believe me, there's a lot of pastors that are hurting today. This has affected them as well. Believe me, when our heart is to visit people in the hospital, to lay hands on them, pray with them, to meet with people, we do that. That's a shepherd's heart. That's Pastor Tommy's heart. And when we're told we can't do that anymore, do you know what that does to a man of God or a man or woman's life? What it does to their mind? It's like, man, Lord. But listen, God is doing something. He's doing a shaking and a sifting. And so it says, when you are pressured to give up and turn your back on Christ, remember the benefits of standing firm and continue to live for Christ. Patient endurance is not a way to be saved, but the evidence that you are really committed to Jesus. Patient endurance. Number two, the second promise that we find in Isaiah 41 is this. God has established a personal relationship with us through His Son Jesus. Why? Because He said, I am with you. Remember, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. Brother Dave, God is with you today, my friend. Amen. I would say that Christ going to the cross, it doesn't get much personal, much more personal than that, what He did for me and what He did for you when He went to the cross. Listen, He had you and me on His mind. And that alone should remind us not to worry, but to be happy. You remember that song years ago? Don't worry. Be happy. Come on. Da 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 da. I don't know all the words except don't worry. Be happy. Yeah, amen. That's it, man. James 1 says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters. When, not if, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith brings endurance, brings in patience, or brings patience. Now here's the dealio. So many Christians, pastors have been taught, listen, we know we're in the last days. Here's one of the telltale signs. There is a great falling away. Pastor Tommy and I have watched dozens and dozens and dozens of people. And maybe you're online listening to this. And maybe this is your wake-up call. But dozens and dozens and dozens of people shipwreck their faith because of the circumstances of life. My goodness. I think Jesus had some circumstances in life. I think Peter and Paul and James and Bartholomew and Barnabas and all the disciples, all the apostles had some shipwrecks try to happen in their life, but it didn't move them. Paul said, none of these things move me. I'm going to finish my race. How many want to finish well? And the third thing out of Isaiah 41 is this. This third promise is God gives us the assurance of His love and strength through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn with me back to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. I love what Paul writes here in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. Paul says this, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Can anything? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or there's a virus? Or there's civil unrest? Does it mean that He doesn't love us anymore? Does it mean that He's changed? You see, somehow we've gotten into this easy believingism here in America that once you're a Christian, everything's just going to be smooth sailing. And we just want to hear bless me messages. We don't want to hear messages that challenge us, that stretches. We don't want to hear the preacher talking about sin. We don't want to hear about righteousness and purity and living upright in an upside down world. We just want to be blessed. But we got all this stuff going on now, and oh, God must have left me. Wait a minute. Did you read your Bible, Jack? See, that's part of the problem. Many in America don't read their Bible. So they don't know the promises of God. Jesus said that in this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you're going to have storms. Oh, I wrote this. I forgot to mention. Check this out. Not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear a path. Some of these storms come to clear a path. I remember one time I was at Fort Benning, Georgia. I was a drill sergeant at Fort Benning, Georgia, and we were just happened to be in the auditorium one day. We had our whole company, 200-plus trainees in there, and all of a sudden, a tornado ripped through the post. And it happened right outside the door. The doors blew open. We could see rain and twigs and branches flying through one side of the building out the other side. Man, it was an incredible, awesome sight. And everybody was on the floor. And I'll never forget going outside. There had to be a path as wide as this building, man. Just through, just like a buzzsaw went through the forest there, man. Storm came to clear a path. Some storms are meant to clear a path in our life. Where was I? Romans chapter 8. Verse 36. As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Someone say amen. Verse 38 says, and I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. See, God's got it all in hand, my friends. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, my friends, fear is what stops and defeats armies. Fear is what stops and defeats great armies. How many remember Desert Storm 1990? I know Brother Charles, he was there working on the B-52s. Amen. And I remember watching the news. We sent planes to the enemy to get these guys unearthed out of Kuwait. And those planes had millions upon millions of leaflets. They'd drop them where the Iraqi army was. And the little leaflets, there was a picture on it. Each leaflet, the picture of a B-52 carpet bombing, right? Carpet bombing. It said, you have 24 hours to surrender or this will happen to you. What happened? Within 24 plus hours, the enemy, we struck fear into that enemy. The enemy was surrendering by the hundreds of thousands. They were even surrendering to helicopters. I remember that. The Apache gunship sitting there, man. And the guys, they got their hands raised, you know. And the helicopter standing there guarding them, yeah. Yeah. What? Fear. Listen. Fear strikes fear into people's lives. Listen. We need to carpet bomb our hearts with the Word of God to I want to use a different word, but I won't. To get that fear out of our lives. We need to carpet bomb our minds and our heart. Remember, Romans said, renew your mind with the Word of God, right? God wants to turn the tables on the devil. When fear tries to grip your heart and mind, that's the time, my friends, to get into the Word, to saturate, bomb your heart and your mind with the Word of God, with the promises of God. Even Jesus himself, under tremendous physical pain as he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, was out by himself, nobody there to help him. What did Jesus do? He clung to the Word of God. And the devil came to him, not once, not twice, but three times. And he said to the devil, devil, it is written. My God says. Jesus spent time and saturated himself in the presence of God. Paul reminds us in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 27, he said this, give no place to the devil. You can't give him an inch, my friends. The devil's not your friend. Fear is not your friend. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he said, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. Great enemy. The devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Stand firm. In other words, stand in faith. God's looking. Jesus said when he comes back to the earth, will he find faith within his family? He said, stand firm against him and be strong in faith. How? By meditating on the Word of God. You see, I got to give my mind a bath every day. Amen. Not just a little dabble, do you? I need to wash my mind with the Word of God. Because if I take hold of those thoughts that are thoughts of fear, that are thoughts of what am I going to do? We're going to freak out. I got to get me some more toilet paper. Man, I was at the store the other day. Did you notice? I'm just going to say it. The day after, the governor, no toilet paper. I'm just saying. What's happening with that? People are freaking out. They're allowing fear to run rampant over them. Folks, we can't be like that. We don't have to be like that. We just read it. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Can someone say amen? Amen. So fear stops armies, but faith ignites armies. Faith ignites, it gives us purpose. It keeps us going forward. I love what Lauren shared. Lauren, you don't know how timely that was. Because, Lauren, you're not hunkered down. You're looking for ways that God can use you. Amen. You're looking, how can God use me in this circumstance? There are people all around us, folks, that are running in fear right now. You can sense it. Have you noticed even wearing the mask? And we do our part. I believe in that. We should do our part. We need to be responsible in that. But under that mask, what's going on? What's going on? Faith moves armies forward. Faith moves the people of God forward. Friends, it's not a time to be wringing our hands saying, what are we going to do? It's a time to be lifting our hands saying, God, what are you going to do? God, I'm looking for you to show up and show off, God. Even through me, God. Use me in a time of great fear. I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles. The story here is so applicable to our day and hour right now. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Menites, and the termites, we got the termites in there too, right? Declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came to Joe, and they said, a vast army from En-Gedi is marching up from the Dead Sea. And Jehoshaphat was terrified at the news. He feared. Now folks, look at me for a second. You online. Fear is a natural emotion. Nothing wrong with getting freaked out about something but God. And that's what we're going to see here. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord. I want you to notice. He humbled himself. The first thing he did, as soon as fear gripped his mind and his heart, he turned to God. See, he did an about face. Someone say amen. I want to do an about face every time the enemy tries to come up against me or my family or our church or any other believer. I want to do an about face and I want to seek God. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. He also ordered, it says, I'll just start again in verse 3. It says, Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting and prayer. So people from all over the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. My friends, this book right here is one way to get your mind focused on the kingdom of God and what God's doing. And we, just like them back there, can come together, pray each and every day, 30 days, beginning January 1st, all the way to the end of January. We're speaking, we're believing, we're declaring, we're praying the exact same prayer. All over the city of Detroit. Come on. In other words, we're saying, God, we're looking to you, just like Joe here. Listen, God shows us that He understands our humility or our humanity, our frailty. And He shows us there's a way out of fear. Verse 9. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, virus, we can come and stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. That's God's promise, my friends. You will hear us and rescue us. And see, now all these armies are coming against us. Drop down to verse 12. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? For we are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but I love this. We are looking to you for help. We're not looking for government to help us. Come on, folks. We're looking to God to help us. We're Christ followers. This is what we do. Listen, you're being trained. We're being trained for war. Every time you come to church, every time you listen online, you're being trained for a spiritual war, for a spiritual battle. God's preparing us for something greater that He's bringing. Someone say amen. Amen. I'm going to drop down to verse 17. He says, but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Here it is. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low his face to the ground, and all the people, someone say all the people, all the people of Lighthouse did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Korath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. And early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in His prophets, and you will succeed. Here's what happened. The armies came before them. They sent the band out. They begin to worship God. They begin to praise God. And the people stood and they watched the enemy from a distance wipe themselves out. And all they had to do is walk in and pick up all those spoils of war that they didn't even have to fight in. God did it for them. And my friends, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Someone say amen. He is not changed for the people of God. Listen, if the children of Israel had embraced their fear, they would have been defeated by their enemies. Fear is not your friend. And so when you're seeking God, when you're meditating on the Word, when we're not praying, guess what? Guess what? The enemy is going to try to grab your mind and take you off in captive into the arena of fear. When the Bible says, fear not. Got a couple scriptures I'm going to leave with you as we close today. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? Oh, I love that. The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. Listen, Jill and I, we pray that over us. We pray that over our children. We pray that over our grandchildren each and every day. We're praying it over Lighthouse. Not one sick among us. Can someone say amen? Amen. The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Verse 13. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And so as we close today, my friends, God wants His children, you and I, operating in faith. Listen, there is such, and I've said this already, but I think it bears repeating. today. There are so many people out there freaking out. They're hurting and they need hope. And you might be the only and the closest thing to heaven that they'll ever see or hear. So what's coming out of our mouths? What's coming out of our lives? We have a choice. Every day we have a choice. I have to get up every day. You know, it's funny. Someone asked me before service, are you going to be jumping over chairs today? I'm sorry to say, this old body can't do it anymore. And that was just a couple years ago. As Pastor Tommy says, we're all getting older. But I'll tell you what, our meditation is, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're not going to fear. We're going to stay in faith. Fear tries to grapple us and grab us. Absolutely, no doubt. But that's when we pull into our ammunition dump. Amen. And we pull out Scripture. And we say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? We're going to say, greater is He that's in us than he that lives in the world. And so I want to pray today, both for you online and you that are here today. Let's just lift our hands. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we realize the season we're in. And none of this has caught you by surprise. But Lord, you remind us today, fear not and be not discouraged. For you love us, God. You care for us, God. And none of this has caught you by surprise. So Lord, we're asking today, come on, pray this in your own way. God, use us today in this world. Use us, God, as a beacon of light, as a beacon of hope to those. God, use us to be hope dealers in the world that's quickly fading away. So Father, we thank you for that honor. We thank you for that privilege. And God, I pray your blessings on your people today, God. Bless them in their coming and bless them in their going today. Use them mightily out in the fields. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Go out and make it a great day. Yep, you can give him a big hand clap. Amen. God bless you. Sign up next.